This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Robert Siegel, and in this hour, we're addressing the question, what's next for Afghanistan? We've already heard about the mission, about the cost of the war, and about the enemy. You can hear the entire hour at NPR.org.
Now to the Afghan government. What do the people of Afghanistan make of President Hamid Karzai? He was reelected by default this week after widespread fraud in the first round of voting in August. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson in Kabul says Afghans care less about who leads them these days than about the need for real change.
President Hamid Karzai offered this verbal assurance to his people and the world soon after he was declared the winner.
We'll keep trying our best to address the questions that we have facing Afghanistan and to make sure that the wishes of the Afghan people come true towards an effective, clean government, legally bound, and also at the same time to make sure that the taxpayers' money coming to us from your countries is spent wisely and rightly by us, the Afghan government, and also by the donors themselves.
His main challenger, Abdullah Abdullah, questioned how Karzai could make that pledge, considering the president didn't really win the election. The only reason Karzai's in office, Abdullah told reporters, is because he dropped out last week after concluding the runoff would be more fraudulent than the first round.
A government which is derived from such an illegal decision will not be able to deliver.
Such doubts over what Karzai will achieve during his second term are common, and not just because of a flawed election process.
There's already a cloud over this administration, and it doesn't have to do with this election season. It has to do with the way that President Karzai has governed Afghanistan since 2001.
That's John Dempsey, who heads the Kabul office of the U.S. Institute of Peace. He says Afghans want their government to keep them safe and provide services and employment. That's hardly the case now, with a growing Taliban menace, a stagnating economy, and widespread corruption in which even the lowest civil servants demand bribes before they will do any work.
There's a real opportunity right now, and perhaps a last opportunity, to get things right in Afghanistan.
That sentiment is echoed on the streets of Kabul. Most, like Abdullah, a 20-year-old shopkeeper, are adamant that Karzai delivered during his second term. He says government has to get serious about eliminating corruption. Fatima Nouri, a 38-year-old aid agency worker, says she expects the new administration to do more to curb suicide attacks and to spur job growth, all in the next year or two. Harun Mir believes the deadline is closer. He heads an Afghan think tank called the Center for Research and Policy Studies. He says Karzai has no time to lose.
So he has to set some benchmarks that are achievable within 6 months, and then put all of his efforts and focus in order to achieve these benchmarks.
Like punishing high-level government officials involved in corruption and appointing technocrats to help craft a government that is better able to deliver services. Karzai's Western partners are also pressuring him to appoint competent ministers and change the way his government does business. That's because most of the international coalition in Afghanistan is dealing with frustrated constituents back home. They question whether the number of soldiers being killed in Afghanistan and the billions of aid dollars flowing in are worth it. There are plans to set benchmarks which Karzai will have to meet. Again, John Dempsey of the U.S. Institute of Peace.
And about 6 months down the road from the inauguration, there's going to be a major international conference at which time people will look to those metrics and benchmarks and say, has he made the progress that he promised to over the prior few months? And if not, then they're going to use the levers of financial assistance and military assistance to the country in terms of trying to get him to change his behavior.
But as Afghan analyst Harun Mir and others point out, Karzai doesn't just answer to foreign partners. He has to repay a lot of Afghan power brokers, including notorious warlords, for the support they gave him during the election. They will be seeking cabinet-level appointments and development contracts worth millions of dollars. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.